Blog Talk Radio.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Entertainment Station.
Shalom. What's going on, man? This is Yehoshua, man. We back for another one. We back for another Shabbat, man. It is awesome. And I don't know if you know, but guess what? We just came out of celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. It was awesome, man. We still actually in the Feast of Trumpets the week because, you know, the last great day is next week. So, you know, it's just amazing because it's just been great. It's been an awesome weekend. We got so much. Woo! Let me tell you, we got so much in front. It's going to be amazing. You know what I'm saying? So we want to open it up correct. You know what I'm saying? We want to open it up correct with some shofar blast. That's what we want to do. We want to crank it up. The alarm has been sounded. We're gonna get some more shofar blast back in, you know, later on in the show, but man, we got an awesome guest coming up later. Man, it's gonna be awesome, man. You're gonna have to get this down, get your notepads out. But let's go to the throne right now and get ready to pray. Father Yahuwah, we thank you once again for another Sabbath, another Shabbat, Father. We pray that in the name of Yahushua, Father, that you would decrease us, that you may increase, that we wouldn't even speak our own words, Father, that you would speak through us and to us to learn and understand, Father, what is going on in the earth and what you would have us to know, Father. So we just thank you. We love you. We esteem your name. And we just are ready to just hear what you have to say to us. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know where to begin. Where do we begin? Let's see. Okay, you know, this week we had some big stories going on. I'm trying to hold it. I'm trying to hold it in before we get to them. We're going to take it step by step. But, you know, we had the European Parliament, you know, announce that the Palestinian statehood is legitimate. This is right here. This is the official article right here from the Jerusalem Post. We have the UE legislative body unanimously approves the resolution declaring Palestinian people's legitimate right to create an independent state. The European Parliament on Thursday adopted a resolution which declared the Palestinian people's request a legitimate right to create an independent state. That document was unanimously approved by members of the European Parliament session. The members stressed that the UE states, along with international communities should reconfirm their strong commitment to secure Israel. So, you know, later the article later goes on. This is a quote right here. It says, from one of the persons, it says, "We are very grateful to the Security Council for moving decisively and clearly upon our application," he said. the process is moving forward step by step, and we hope that Security Council will shoulder its responsibility and approve our application. President Mohamed Abbas said he wants to review over within weeks. So, you know, that happened. I think that was actually on the 29th, coming, you know, right before the Feast of Trumpets went down, and the UN panel held its first meeting on September 30th. And we'll get a little bit into that story. It says the UN panel heard its first meeting on the Palestinian statehood bid. Okay, the UN Council panel on admitting new members in the United Nations met on Friday for the first time on the Palestinian bid to join the world body as Palestinians lobbied council members for support. It says some diplomats have suggested that the issue could stay in the committee for weeks or months before it is passed by the Security Council for a vote. But the Palestinians have said that they want the entire process over within weeks. So basically, you know, to get down to it, the U.S. is also pressuring the United Nations Security Council on vetoing the resolution for the Palestinian vote. So basically, it's kind of interesting because you have the UE, which is part of, quote unquote, you know, part of the beast, the United Nations, and there are backing right now. They're backing the Palestinians. They're saying, hey, their request is legitimate. Like, hey, their request is, and they released this official statement. And right now you have, there's six certain votes in the council right now that are key for their vote who are backing them. And so I read, we read earlier, they almost need about three more votes to really secure their, you know, their bid into the United Nations. And you have Brazil, you have Russia, you have India, you have China, you have South America, also Libya and some other countries. So it's very interesting because we have Russia, who, you know, we know that they're the army from the north, and they really don't too much like Israel. So that's very interesting that they would side with the Palestinians. And because, you know, America is signing with the Jews and Obama is signing with Netanyahu. And so all this praise and pardon and prophecy, but we are continuing to watch, because Yehoshua said, watch, we are Nazarene. We are watchmen. So we have to watch what's going on in our land. You read Jeremiah 51 and it says that, hey, let us remember Yahuwah. Let us in a faraway land, let Jerusalem come to our mind. So right now we are just thinking about Jerusalem. We're thinking about there. We're just understanding what's going on. And, you know, we just continue to stay abreast on this, because I'm telling you right now, the dominoes will fall, you know. And the United States is put in a particular different situation, because they say they want to veto the vote. They have the, you know, President Obama, they say they have the power to veto, but yet they want to use, remember we talked about last week about the Quartet group that wants to have the peace treaty signed by December 2012. So it puts them in a predicament, because they say they're going to veto, but yet they want to sit down with the Palestinians and sit at a table and let's negotiate it, not through the UN, the beast, but let's sit down and negotiate it between Netanyahu and Abbas. But see, the problem with that is if United States end up vetoing, common sense tells you that the Palestinians will not sit down with the Quartet to talk it out. They will not want to talk it out. It will most likely be a confrontation. So the United States might be pulling cards, and it's almost like a card game, because they might be bluffing, because if they end up vetoing, you can forget peace talks, sitting down at a table. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. So, you know, it's a peculiar situation, so we'll just continue to keep you abreast. But I want to tell you, wow, I want to show to you, man, blow the trumpets, blow the shofar. Man, I don't know. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks, but man, it gave me goosebumps. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. We talked about Revelations 12, 1 through 4. We talked about that. And man, we talked about that. And you have a lot of people up there, they're despising the prophecies of Yahuwah. But you're talking about on the 29th, on the new moon, the first day of the new moon, you had something happen. You had something happen that has never happened. You had something that is a trillion to one happenings. You're talking about prophecy being fulfilled. And a lot of people say, hey, you know, that doesn't mean anything. What does that mean to me? Yeah, so what? A lot of people don't. It's hard to be in an actual, be actually living and see a prophecy fulfilled. But Yahushua said in the end days, there will be signs, great signs in heaven. So we read Revelations 12, 1 through 4, and it said, and there was a great sign in the heaven. And a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head were 12 stars, and she, being with child, travailed in birth, and the pain be delivered. And it appeared another sign in the heaven, and behold, a red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And he drew a third part of the heavens, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to deliver and to devour the child as soon as it was born. Now, we know we had a lot of, I was just checking some things. We had a lot of Christians, they're saying we're going to get raptured and tribulation and all this stuff. But we know the scripture said, don't be easily deceived. You know, for the day of Yahuwah will not come unless the falling away and the son of perdition be revealed. So we know we got some time. But this sign in the heaven that was seen on Teruah, you're talking about it happened on Teruah. I was actually, we had a program where it actually has the satellites, modern day satellites, showing, and this happening. We talked about how Venus and Saturn, you know, Venus, according to the Greek, is the bright and morning star, which Yahushua, you know, it says he is. And the man child is also comparable to Yashrael. So you're talking about this sign means that Yashrael, the parable of the fig tree Yahushua said that we had to learn, is about to take place in the near future. The parable of the fig tree. The sons of Elohim being revealed. But it also means, too, that the dragon is about to try to persecute the woman, the child. Persecute Yahushua. Persecute. And think about it. If he's going to persecute the man-child, Yahushua, who lives within us? Yahushua. So he's going to try to persecute us. He's going to try to enforce the mark of the beast. And we're going to have more on that. But the dragon, just like he stood and he stood at the foot of the woman when Yahushua was about to be born and Herod was sent to kill all the babies. Same thing. He tries to kill what is about to be birthed in its infancy because he knows that once we wake up and become what Yahuwah destined us to be, it is no hope for him. He will be destroyed. He will know we have the authority to trample him. So this is going on, man. And I don't know. We have the pictures. You want to see it, but it happened on Teruah. The trumpets were blown in Shemayim, the woman clothed with the sun, the constellation Virgo. Man, I'm telling you, the sun was clothed on her back. The moon was under her feet. We had a new moon. You had different people seeing the new moons different times, but the new moon showed up in Jerusalem on the 29th, the evening. We have spotters that seen it, witnesses, and the comet Elene, you know, passed through the 12 stars, like almost making a crown upon this woman's head. And it is just amazing. I mean, I can't stress it enough how much it just means, you know, and it's almost baffling to think about it, but we're going to have more on it because it's going down, you know, in layman's terms, it's going down. So watch continue to watch and be prayerful, you know, that we may be, you know, able to escape what's going to come upon the world. But we know we're not going to get scared because we know, hey, what did Jehovah say he's going to do? He said he's going to deliver us. He said, in that time of trusting, he will deliver us from the dragon. So you are still listening to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm Jehovah Side, and this is still the way. Yo. Okay, like I said, we have an awesome guest today, and we're talking about, because what does all this mean? It talked about, you know, even in Revelation, it talked about 12, it talked about that the dragon drew away some stars and they fell to earth. And because we know that the son of perdition, he's a copycat. That's all he is a copycat of Yahushua, the original. But he's going to eventually come to earth and try to be like the Messiah, do miracles, call lightning from the sky, you know. But he's also coming, because remember, Yahushua said, remember when he was getting, you know, they were trying to black, they were saying he was blaspheming. They said that they would see him coming on the clouds with all his set of partners. So we know that if Yahushua said he's going to do it, that there's a copycat. The fake comes before the real. Always remember that. The fake comes before the real. So we know, hey, keep your eyes peeled. Because he said this deception would be so great that if it had not been, he said, if this time wasn't shortened, you know, then no flesh would survive. And not only that, he said that if it was possible, he would deceive the very elect. I'm talking about those who believe and confess in Yahushua HaMashiach and keep the commandments of Yahuwah. He said that he would deceive the very elect. So this deception is very strong. Please don't misunderstand it. Please don't think you have it, because it says that any man that thinks he stands, you better watch out unless he fall, because, hey, this deception is getting real. So we want to talk about the red or the blue pill.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Yo, we back. But hey, it's going down. We're trying to see, hey, the red or blue pill. That's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the red or blue pill. And we have some interesting information, man. We have a process. It's called the form of brainwashing. We're talking about deception versus the truth. We're talking about destruction versus salvation. And this is real. I'm telling you right now. Kind of knew about it, but it really kind of opened my mind to what's really going on in the scenes. It's more than what meets the eye. That's what the Matrix is. More meets the eye. But you're talking about brainwashing. You're talking about the Hegelian process. What is the Hegelian process? It is a change in which a concept or its realization passes over into or is preserved to fulfill by its opposite. So what does that all mean? We have a little clip right here we're gonna play, but I'm telling you right here, this is gonna understand, okay, the diabolical plan of the fallen messengers, which we're gonna talk about later. Which Yajrun is going to get on here, our special guest, he's going to get on here. He's going to, you know, we're going to expose these things. But I want to talk about the Hegelian process. We have a video right here. It's a disclaimer right here because, you know, they use some Christian terms and things like that. We want to really get to the message. Check it out.
Subtle psychological process which can destroy conviction, crumble your conscience, and it can even eliminate every shred of opposition that might exist within you. That would make you oppose the exterminating of Christian principles in society. And what is so sick about it is that it is very simple. It is a to the center or the target group. Then, when phase two is completed, phase three is initiated, which is the presentation of the synthesis. The synthesis is a compromise between the two radically opposed ideals or beliefs that were presented in the thesis and the antithesis, which brings about a completely new belief system. A completely new belief system which is more than readily accepted by the dissenter or the dissenting group because it relieves the confusion that was on.
So we're back. When you understand these things, it's like, hey, what is really going on? This thing right here, the Hegelian theory, this is what this does. This, how are we going to explain it right here? This is what it does. You present the lie first. The lies come, or it's a neutral state, and then they come with the truth. But yet they make the truth as though it is a lie, or it doesn't make sense, or it's not, or it make you, you know how people now, we talked about how actually even the Pope believed that, hey, if you keep the Sabbath, you are the anti-Messiah. So this trick that the psychology trick of brainwashing gets people to believe the opposite. So when they come with the lie first, then they come with the truth that tries to battle in the antithesis, that tries to battle the lie. It gets you, psychology, you know, studies that shows that it gets you to believe the first thing that was said, the lie. So we want to talk about deception versus truth, the red or blue pill, like the Matrix, like. So we want to show you that, hey, there is more things than meets the eye. You have the thesis. You have the antithesis that contradicts or negates the thesis. And then you have the tension between the two, which resolved by means of the synthesis, the inception. So that's what happens. The enemy comes with the inception, with the lie. Then he comes and negates the truth. Then he says the truth, and then you end up believing the lie. Think about it. Let's go all the way back to the garden. What happens? He comes with a little bit of truth. Yeah, you will. Did he say that? He knew he said that, but yet he said, "Oh, you will be like Elohim." So it's a psychological mind trick that he always has been playing. The Hegelian dialect theory. We're going to talk about it. We want to get into it. It says right here, I'm going to read you the plan that the enemy has tried to put on upon our children, upon us, to deceive. We've been deceived for a long time, but we have woken up to our destiny. And guess what it says? It says there are symbols that are, it says to remind the coming, there are symbols out there that the Illuminati uses that they have learned from their pact with Hashitan to deceive the masses. And those who are blind to these occult symbols are brainwashed in this secret plan to embed their hearts and minds to create a rebellion against Yahuwah. The only way to deliver is to trust Yahuwah and keep his commandments and believe upon his son Yahushua. Now, we want to talk about this great deception plan, because the enemy of our souls, look, the whole thing about wealth and, you know, people think it's about wealth. No, the whole thing about this whole plan is for you to lose your soul, for you to burn forever in weeping and gashing of teeth. Because Hashitan knows that's where he will be. So, yeah, he promises people life, but yet they will receive nothing but death. The wages of sin is death. But this is what the plan said. This is what the plan that they said that the reptilian, these fallen who were led by Hashitan created. And we're going to talk about this blue pill. This is what it said. The illusion will be so big. It says so vast it will escape their perception. Those who see it will be thought as insane. The Hegelian theory. Right there. It says we will create separate fronts to prevent them from seeing the connection between us. This is these fallen that we're going to get into, that we're talking about. We're going to get into. This is their plan. It says we will always stand above. It says above the relative field in their experience, for we know the secrets of the absolute. It says we will work together always and will remain bound by blood and insecurity. It says death will come to he who speaks. It says we will keep their lifespan short and their minds weak from pretending to do the opposite. It says we will use our knowledge in science and technology to subdue ways so they will never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerants, things in food and water, also in the air. They will be blanketed by poison everywhere they turn. Metals will cause them to lose their minds. We will promise to find a cure on our many fronts, yet we will feed them more poison. It says the poisons will absorb through their skin and mouth. Remember Yahushua said? He said that we, the set apart ones, would eat and drink poison, it wouldn't harm us. You know why? Because he knew that Hashitan's plan was to, number one, put things in food. I mean, there's so many things that we have probably ate and we don't know about. We can't, you know, we give discernment. We have discernment and we know. But there's things that people probably had tried to poison us. But guess what? Yahuwah has kept us because we are set apart and nobody, nothing can deter our mission to preach this Bessorah, but we want to get back into it. It says, from all this, their children will be born dead, and we will conceive this information. The poisons will be hidden in everything that surrounds them, and they drink, eat, breathe, and wear. It says, we must be subtle that the poisons, so they cannot see them from afar. We will teach them that the poisons are good. It says with fun images, music tones. Think about it. Let's think about rap. Let's think about those demonic things that are in rap and I'm talking about worldly rap and these different things, that musical tones and these pitches that have captivated the minds. These people, if you actually listen to the songs that they actually listen, these songs are, excuse my language, but they are stupid. They are dumb. But yet these images, which people have now trusted in, have led them and are leading them to destruction in Gehenna, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It says those things they will look up to will help. It says we will enlist them to push our poisons. It says they will see our products and being used in films and growing accustomed to them, and they will never know the true effect. It says when they give birth, they inject poisons into their blood and their children and convince. But I want to get to this part right here because the whole plan The whole plan is the Hegelian theory, the reverse of what is really true, the subconsciously brainwashing of the masses. This is what they have tried to do. This is what it says. Look, all this plays a part in prophecy. If you don't believe it, it says that nation will rise up a nation, that man will kill another man. It says, look, this is what it says. It says we will make them kill each other. It says when it suits us. It says we will keep them separated from oneness by dogmas and religion. We will control the aspect of their lives and tell them what to think and know. We will guide them kindly and gently, letting them think that they are guiding themselves. That's another one. Look, this is what it says. Format animosity between those of our frictions. It says when a light shall shine among them, we shall extinguish it by ridicule. Do you understand that? Do you understand when you speak the truth, why people negate you and people say, he's crazy. So now you're crazy for keeping the Sabbath. Because over time, the Hegelian theory, it has conditioned people and brainwashed people to believe the opposite, that the truth is now a lie. So when you tell people you keep the Sabbath, when you tell people you have to keep the commandments, no, the church says opposite, because they have been conditioned, the brainwashed, the spirit from Hashatan has came upon them. So now they believe, hey, if you keep the commandments, you a liar. So this is all psychology. This is all psychology. This is all what the enemy knew. You ever watch the news and they'll negate. They'll propose a lie and say the truth and then negate, and your mind will go back. See, but we have the eyes. Just like you see out that movie They Live, we can see what's going on and what's between this. It says, look, so these things, and this thing gets deep, and I don't even want to get too much into it, because it gets so deep. You almost get hot listening to this, because you have to be strong. You know what I'm saying? Look, there's another quote from here. It says they must never know that the color is an illusion. It says they must always think that they are not equal. Drop by drop, we will advance our goal. So that's the main goal of the enemy. But let's talk about what is the solution. So they try to put these things in media. They try to put these things in movie, the Hegelian dialect. You ever seen a movie? You've seen millions of movies about aliens taking over. But we're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about the conditioning, the psychological mindset behind them telling the truth and some of the lies to get you to believe a lie, to get you conditioned for what's coming. You know, these things are a delusion. So if you don't understand that, that is what has happened. That is what has happened. But guess what? Let's talk about what is the solution to all this? What is the solution? But the red pill. This is the red pill. The shim above all shims. We're talking about Yahushua. Because the only way you can be delivered out of this matrix, out of this mindset, to have your mind renewed to where you're able to function and think like, okay, the truth is still the truth and a lie is a lie, not the other way around. So when you look at it, you look at the shim above all shims. And we look at the shim. The shim was given long ago. You're talking about the name. In the book of Enoch, it records the very day. At that hour, the son of Adam was named in the presence of the master of spirits. And the name before the one whom belongs before time. Yes, before the sun, before the signs were created, before the stars of heaven were made, his name was named before the master of spirits. And he shall be staffed to righteousness, therefore, to stay themselves and not fall. It says, and he shall be a light to the Gentiles and a hope to those who are in troubled heart. All those who dwell on earth shall fall down and worship before him. And he and said, and praise him and celebrate with the song of the master of spirits. That is Enoch 48. So what is this name? What is this name we're talking about? We look at Philippians 2:9. It says, Elohim therefore has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yahushua, that those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth and every tongue shall confess that Yahushua Messiah is master to the esteem of Elohim the Father. Now that sounds a lot like what we just read. You're talking about in Revelations that this hasn't happened yet. This event is yet to happen. And it's so amazing because you think about the sign we've seen on Teruah, and you think about, hey, the seals haven't been broken, but you're talking about an event's going to happen. This event's going to happen where Yahushua, the son of Elohim, is going to come to the throne, and he's going to grab those seals out of his father's hand. And he's going to break them. He's going to break every one of those seals in Revelations. You're talking about this event is going to happen. A lot of people say, your Christianity say, oh, we on seal number seven. We on seal six. You know, and all these things. Hate to break the news to you, but none of these seals have been happening. Why does he keep saying, watch? Why does he keep saying, I'll come like a thief? Why does he keep saying that he's going to come quickly? Why? Because when he breaks these seals, these things are going to fall into succession. They're going to happen so quickly. Do you remember the flood? Do you remember the flood? Noah told them 120 years that, hey, you better repent because that rain going to come. I don't care if it's dry outside. I don't care if I'm building a boat on the dry land. You better repent. But they wasn't trying to hear him. And that's what we try to do. We try to tell you peace of the sword, and people don't want to hear it. But guess what? That flood is coming. And that flood came quickly because that day when he shut that ark, it was over. So Yahuwah has mercy. Yahuwah has mercy. He has mercy right now. But that day when the son of perdition is revealed, and the two witnesses come, that day the ark is shut. Either you have to take the mark of the beast, or you have to repent and take Yahushua. Because there will be no middle ground. And so we're encouraging people to get upon the heart. We're encouraging people to, hey, listen. But look, everybody's going to fall down and worship Yahushua the Lamb. And they sung a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scrolls and open the seals, for you were slain, and your blood was a ransom for people. For Elohim, for Elohim, every tribe, tongue, language, people, and nation, everything created in the earth, in the sea, and all those in them, I heard saying, to him sits on the throne and to the Lamb, blessing, honor, esteem, and dominion. Look, this is what Hanak says again. This is what he says. He says, for this reason, he, talking about Yahushua, has been chosen, hidden before Yahuwah, before the creation of the world and forevermore. The wisdom of the Master of Spirits has revealed him to the Kadesh and the righteous. For he preserved the lot of the righteous because they hated and despised this world of unrighteousness and have hated all the works and ways have all its works and the ways of the name of the Master of Spirits. It says, for in his name, this is what it says, in his name, Yahushua, they are saved. And according to his good pleasures, it has been regarded to their life. That's a knock again. And so we are talking about when Gabriel is the Archmelech in Shemaim. Gabriel is the Archmelech in Shemaim. And guess what it talks about? You're talking about Gabriel heard all these things announced. And in Matthew 1:21, it says that she shall bear a son, and you will call his name Yahushua, for he will save his people from his sins. So you're talking about the name above all names, the name of salvation, Yahushua the Messiah. Tehillim 1:38-2 says, for you have exalted your word above your name. Yahushua is exalted above all. He has authority. Remember, when he arose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He said, all authority. That means even Yahuwah's authority had been given to him. You understand that even Yahuwah, even him passing, it was almost a pass of the torch. When he grabbed those seals out of his father's hand, he has all authority. So if you think you can not worship the Messiah, or you think you can get away, it's not going to happen. Because at the end of the 1,000 years, 1 Corinthians 15:28 says that when all things have been subject to him, then the Son himself also shall be subject to the one who subject all things to him, so that Elohim may be all in all. So what this prophecy has not happened. So what that means is now that Yahushua has all authority, that at the end of the 1,000 years when he reigns and the enemy is just put under his feet, he will give all authority back to our Father, Yahuwah, and they will be all in all. So don't let nobody deceive you. The only way out of the matrix, the only way is the red pill. So we're talking about that. We're talking about the matrix. You're still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Side, and this is still the way. Now we're getting closer to a good brother of mine, man. It's going to go down because we want to boost it up. Remember, a couple weeks ago we talked about these fallen. We just talked about the reptilian pact. We just talked about how they are just doing the mass deception with the Hegelian theory. And I began to look that up and research that and see what's going on and see how they will. You can see it in Genesis, Bereshit, how the enemy used the same theory. You proposed a lie and then said some of the truth and to confuse Hawana. I mean, this is something to look into. You're talking about the original fall of man. He used this theory. So it's nothing new under the sun. The same things are being happened. So when we speak truth, the enemy has done over the years, he has made it so this process, this brainwashing process of the masses of people now makes it look like you're a lie. The truth now looks like a lie. So that's why you will be persecuted. Because the masses of the minds have been confused to believe the opposite. So that's what we're talking about. And we're also talking about, the Feast of Trumpets. We're going to harp on this again, but the Feast of Trumpets, man. Oh, man. We're in the Feast of Trumpets, but we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets. I have a couple scriptures for you about the Feast of Trumpets, but it says right here, 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Whew. Do you remember in the book of Yahushua or Joshua, it says, 7 priests shall bear the ark of the trumpets of the rams, and on the 7th day there shall come pass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. So there you go. They went around Jericho and they blew the trumpets, and what? Jericho fell down. So hey, even the sign in the heaven is a bearing witness that hey, Babylon is gonna fall. So let's get ready for it. So we got some more verses. You read some other. Look, 1 Corinthians 14:8, it says, for if the trumpet given an uncertain sound, who shall be prepared himself for battle? All throughout the scriptures, children of Yisrael blew the trumpets for warnings, you know, calling of assemblies, you know, it was always a sound of alarm. Look, Numbers 10:7 says, but when the congregation is to be gathered, you shall blow and you shall not, but you shall not sound the alarm. So they blew the trumpets, you know, for a gathering of a congregation. You know, we read Leviticus, it talks about blowing the trumpet on that day. It said, Tehillim 81:3, it says, blow the trumpet on the new moon in the time of the appointed and our solemnly feast day. So, I mean, we're talking about blowing the trumpet. So let's think about it. Let's continue to think about it. We saw the signs in the heavens. What does that mean? Okay. Assemble the people for war. So who is beginning to assemble us for war? There's not a spiritual war. We're not picking up guns. We're not shooting people. We're talking about spiritual war. We're talking about spiritual war. We're talking about the dragon being enraged with the woman. You know what I'm saying? Judges 3:27 says, and it came to pass when he had came that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Yisrael went down with him on the mount, and he before them. So I don't know if you remember that, but they were assembling for war. Sound. Look, and it was also a sound when they went to battle. And it says, Numbers 10:9, it says, and if we go to war in the land against the enemy that oppressed you, you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahuwah your Elohim, and you shall be saved from their enemies. So the trumpets was a symbol of, hey, the war is about to happen. We need to get ready for the war. They would assemble the troops. It also was a symbol for proclaiming kings. Proclaiming kings. Do you understand that? Proclaiming the king. So that sign that went down on the trumpets, hey, we need to get ready. We need to be ready to now proclaim the Besorah, because he's coming. He's coming. The king is coming. Don't let nobody fool you, because there in the end days there will be markers saying, where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? You know what I'm saying? But he's going to come. And there's going to be days where we're going to long for the Son of Man, because it's going to go down. But thanks be to Yahuwah that those set apart, that those people whose names are written in the book shall be delivered from that time. We read 2 Kings 9-13, and it said and they hastened. They took every man his garments, and they put it under the top of the stairs, and they blew the trumpets and said, Yahuwah is king. See there, right there, giving a song. But this is one right here I want to leave it at, because there are many more, and we'll probably pick up next week, because we have the last great day coming up later, but we want to pick it up, and we still about to have Yashron on the line. It's going down, but guess what? Hey, this is the last one I want to leave you with. Ezekiel 33:2-6. This is what he said. This is our mission. What is the mission of the 144,000, the set apart ones? You know what I'm saying? It says, Son of Man, speak to the children and thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the people, upon the land, if the people of the land take heed of their coast and set for the watchmen, if when they see the sword coming upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He has heard the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But if he that taketh warning shall be delivered, his soul. But if the watchman see the sword coming and blow not the trumpet, the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hands. So we are Nazarene. This goes for everybody. That, hey, you see the sword coming. You see the day of Yahuwah approaching. Hey, you better sound that alarm. Your mouth, he said, raise your mouth. He said, raise your voice like the trumpet. So raise your voice, proclaim the Besorah, because, hey, you see the sword coming. So those people that Yahuwah sends you to and you don't say anything, he will require the blood upon your head. Because you knew the sword was coming, but yet you warned them. But if you warn them, no matter if they reject it, they don't want to hear it, hey, you did your job. You blew the trumpet. They didn't want to take heed to the warning. You told them the flood was coming. They didn't care. Hey, they get swept away by the flood. So be it. But let's remember that scripture right there. It's time right now to blow the trumpet, because the sounds in the heavens, the signs in the heavens have been blown. But we want to get right now. We want to get into the main guest. We want to get into the main guest right now. We want to warm it up a little bit, though. We want to warm it up a little bit, because I don't know if you're ready, but
come to believe that the extraterrestrial portion of all of this is nonsense, but.
Did you hear that? So we back. We waiting for Yaz Run to get on the line. We waiting for him. He's coming back. But do you understand that? They say a one world totalitarian government, an artificial invasion. What does the movie talk about? What does the movies continue to talk about? What is continue to go down about this? We have Yaz Run on the line. What's going on, Yaz Run?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. What's going on, man? We diving into the issue, man. People try to avoid it, man, but we got to get into it. Tell us about these fallen. Number one, how are you doing? How was your Shabbat going? How was the Feast of Trumpets going? Before we get diving into it.
Oh, man, it was wonderful, man. It was wonderful. Enjoy the blessings from Yahuwah. And I'm still enjoying that Shabbat, though, you know?
Yes, sir.
But I'm glad you had me on the show today. Thank you, by the way.
Oh, man. Praise to the Father, man. Before we got into it, I heard you got some good information about your heritage. I wanted to see, you know, you share a little quick minute on that real quick.
Okay. You want me to go ahead and discuss that right now, or you want to go ahead and go right into the subject of the followings?
Whatever you want to do, bro. But I wanted to let you can hit on it, and we can check it out. But you got the floor today.
Okay. Well, first off, I'll go ahead and bring about my heritage that, you know, I had did a DNA test and I had got confirmation that the so-called African Americans are Hebrews, you know, and most of them brought to Wisconsin. Well, we had migrated when the temple was destroyed in 70 Common Era. And we eventually ended up in West Africa. And my people are right now reside in Sierra Leone, the Timne people. And so it was very interesting to find out and get that confirmation, knowing that we as a people had that responsibility to share the truth with others. As a matter of fact, you brought up a point about far as, like, once we know the truth, it's our responsibility to say something, as is written in the book of Ezekiel, that we don't warn the people, the blood is on our hands, but if we do warn them, then we know we're in a clear, basically. And, you know, we need to realize that not just Hebrews in general, but Gentiles alike, but to the Hebrew first and Gentiles second, we must understand that we've been getting chosen because we're such a, you know, righteous people, because Yahuwah was mercy and the covenant made with our fathers. So if anything is more for us to just sort of step up and do what we're supposed to be doing, you know. But as far as the followings, well, remember the Messiah, Yahushua, he goes and says that, as it was in the days of Noah, right? When you go to Matthew chapter 24, you go to verse 37, he says, and at the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. And a lot of people take that scripture and say, well, you know, they were partying, they were all doing all type of things. True. But we must understand what exactly was going on at that point in time. So for the answer, we go to Genesis and Hebrews, Bereshit, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. It says, and it came to be when men began to increase on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men that they were good, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And Yahuwah said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, and his going astray, his flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of Elohim came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, the men of Nain. Okay? So, at that time, the sons of Elohim came. Now, who are these sons of Elohim? See, a lot of misinterpretations, people say, well, it was the sons of Seth. That's a lie. And there was the sons of Seth. These are angelic beings, or Malachim, you know, in the Hebrew. And what they did was they left their first estate, they left their first principality, and they cohabited with earth women. And they made children with the Nephilim. Nephilim means followers. And for me, Nephilim, they were, the offspring Nephilim were giants. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Another book I'm going to refer to called the Book of Enoch. Now, I know in the mainstream of quote-unquote Christianity, a lot of people don't know about the Book of Enoch. But see, the Book of Enoch was read by the early believers. It was also found in Dead Sea Scrolls among the Essenes in the Qumran Caves. I think it was like 1940-something, if I'm not mistaken. But the point I'm trying to make is that when you get into the book of Enoch, it ties in with the book of Genesis. It ties in with it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read some excerpts from it in Enoch chapter 6.
Sure.
It says, "And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born to them beautiful and fair daughters. And the angels, or Malachim, the sons of heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, Come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men, and have children with them. And Shemjazah, who was their leader, said to them, I fear you will not agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of this great sin. And they all answered him and said, Let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual curses, so we will not abandon this plan to do this thing. And they all swore together and bound themselves by mutual curses. And they were all 200 who descended in the days of Jared in the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual curses on the act." Okay? So right there, that ties in with the book of Bereshit. We understand who these sons of Elohim are. These are angelic beings that decided to say, hey, we don't want to, you know, be celestial beings no more, and that, you know, we want to give our mortality and just so we can have these women. And I'm going to read further what they taught man, and I'm also going to refer to this man called William Cooper. He used to work for the government, but he was killed by, of course, Illuminati, because he was exposing a lot of lies that they were, you know, putting out to the public. And he also talked about how these quote-unquote aliens were giving man technology. You know, and it ties right in with the book of Enoch, okay? And it's in chapter 7, starting at verse 1, it says, of the book of Enoch. "And all of them together went and took wives for themselves, each choosing one for himself, and they began to go into them and to defile themselves with sex with them. And the messengers taught them charms and spells and cutting of roots and made them acquainted with plants. And the women became pregnant, and they bore their large giants, whose height was 2,000 cubits. Giants consume all the work and toil of men, and when men can no longer sustain them, the giants turn against them and devour mankind. They begin to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish and to devour one of the flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. And as Isaiah taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates and taught them about metals of the earth and the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying the eyelids, and all kinds of precious stones, and all coloring and dyes. And there was great impiety. They turned away from Elohim and committed fornication, and were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. And Java taught the casting of spells and root cuttings. Amoros taught counter spells. Barikiel taught astrology. Tuchabel taught the constellations. Ezekiel the knowledge of the clouds. Arikiel the signs of the earth. Conceal the signs of the sun and serial the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven." Okay, so these guys were doing some serious sinning. Not only did they lead the women of the earth astray, they were teaching mankind things that they were forbidden to know. And from that point, wickedness entered into the world so much that Yahuwah had to repent of himself just for creating man. So he destroyed the earth. He didn't spare Noah. Why he spared Noah? Because Noah was pure in all his generations. Meaning, not just saying that he was a set apart man, but meaning that he was untouched by that Nephilim seed. He was untouched by it, him and his family. So Yahuwah preserved him in the ark. Okay? And if you read the book of Bereshit chapter 6, it says, "And also after that, the Nephilim were on the earth." So we see that the whole time the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, Mizraim, that they were still populating. These descendants of these fallen were still around. The Anak, you know, the Anakim, the Rephaims, and the Reuben, all these people are in the land of Canaan. And this is why Yahuwah wanted them to destroy these people. People always say, why he was so bloody in the Old Testament, he would wipe all these people out. Why did he do that? Because they were all the Nephilim seed. They were not a set-apart people. Yahuwah had them wiped out because they were all around that land of Israel. So Yahuwah wanted to go in there and take this land, make it be a set-apart place, and then he can basically establish, you know, his presence on earth with his people by building a temple, you know, and so on and so forth. Okay? So now, I'm also going to go to Second Kings 4, which is Peter. And it's chapter... excuse me. chapter 2, and I'm going to read at verse 4. He says, "For if Elohim did not spare the messengers who sinned, but took them to Tartaros, and delivered them to chains of darkness to be kept for judgment, did not spare the world of old, but preserved Noah for clean unrighteousness, and seven others bringing in a flood on the world of the wicked." Okay? So here, Kepha, he's in here letting us know that Yahuwah didn't spare these messengers who sinned. So he bound them to Tartaros. It's like a realm of punishment. He also, you know, as a matter of fact, you have the Greek catapult called Tartaros, where the Titans were preserved at. They were kept in Tartaros. So a lot of these Greek myths, they were all in their false. There's a little truth in some of these myths. You know, these are not all just of man's imagination, these Greek myths, or these heroes of renown. These are all fallen ones that they worship. They worship these demons as deities.
Wow.
Okay. Then I'm going to go to Jude. I'm gonna go to verse 6. It says, "And the messengers who do not keep their own principality, but let their own dwelling be as kept in everlasting shackles under darkness for the judgment of the great day." But here we have more confirmation that the book of Enoch has so much truth in it. Just lying over scripture, I believe in one or two or three witnesses letting these things get established. You know, and Yahuwah was establishing his word, letting us know what these things did. They sinned. And so therefore they go to their first principality and have been bound waiting for the great day. But the question also lingers, what happened to the descendants? What happened to these giants when they sinned? What happened to their offspring? Okay. Well, we're going to find out that Yahuwah had destroyed them. We're going to find out the origin of the demonic spirits and where they come from. Okay. It's in Enoch chapter 15. I'm going to start from there. It says, right. "And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and the flesh should be called evil spirits on the earth, and shall live on the earth. Evil spirits have come out from their bodies because they are born from men and from the set-apart watchers. Their beginning is of primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be, called spirits of the evil ones. And for the spirits of heaven, and heaven shall be their dwelling. That for the spirits of the earth, which were born on the earth should be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, war, destroy, and cause trouble on the earth. They take no food, but do not hunger or thirst. They cause offenses, but are not observed. And these spirits arise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them in the days of the slaughter and destruction. And at the death of the giants, spirits will go out and shall destroy without incurring judgment. Coming from their bodies, the flesh shall be destroyed until the day of the consummation, the great judgment, in which the age shall be consummated over the watchers and the wicked, and shall be wholly consummated." Okay, so now we have the origin of the demonic spirit. And we're going to prove it by going to the Berea Hadashah, which is the New Testament, that the fallen spirits, they knew that Yahushua, the Messiah, was coming to judge them. The son of Adam was going to come to judge them and throw them to the bottomless pit. It's also written in the book of Enoch. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, verse 28, and talk about, "And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Yahushua, the son of Elohim? Are you come to torment us before the time?'" So they knew already what was coming. So they asked them, "Please don't do what was already prophesied happening to us already, these evil spirits." Keep in mind, these were angelic beings that were these guys. These were demonic spirits. So now we know where these spirits come from, and that they recognize Yahushua, who he was, and what his mission was to come to do. Yahushua gave us power over these fallen spirits. See, Yahweh the king had destroyed the remnant of the fleshy aspect of the giant. And we know he fought Goliath. There's more proof there that he fought Goliath. Goliath was a giant. Og of Bashan, he was a giant. And once Yahweh had, got the remnant of the giants, destroyed, what have you, at that point in time, Yahushua came to show the spiritual aspect. Because when you look at the prophecy of the Messiah, which is Psalms 22, it talks about how he says that, the things of Bashan were basically surrounding his stake. So these demonic spirits were trying to afflict him while he was hanging on the stake. So it's something people might want to put in mind right there. It goes a lot more deeper than just saying, you know, that, you know, okay, we have authority. That's good. But you understand why we have that authority. And what's the real war that's going on here? It's the war between Yahusha seed and the demonic seed, Satan seed. It was the ongoing war that's been going on for centuries at a time. It still continues to this day. And they're the main ones in power that's behind the Illuminati right now. That's influenced the media, that's influencing the people, that's influencing the music, and so on and so forth. And and the government, they try to put so much disinformation so you'll be led away from it, or you discredit it when the truth is brought to you. You'll think, oh man, it's ridiculous. It's too far fetched. But if you seek, you shall find. Knocking, it should be open to you. Asking, it should be given to you. If you truly want to know the truth about what's really going on, Yahweh will show it to you. You know, he will set you free from the mental prison that Satan has put on people's mind. Okay? Now, keep in mind now that the Illuminati, they all know they not only worship Satan. See, their whole twist of idea is believing that they believe that Satan is a good guy and that he was trying to hit man onto hidden knowledge that Yahweh was hiding from us, which is not true. See, they've all been deceived. So they serve him and his followers. And they're trying to condition people to receive these things when they make their appearance. Okay, if you notice, a lot of people, if people are really listening and watching TV or listening to music, you'll notice that everything's having to do with aliens nowadays. Why are they trying to condition people to accept these things? You got these TV shows, you got V, you know what I'm saying? You got these new songs that are coming out now talking about what's happening with extraterrestrials, you know, so on and so forth. In movies, you know, with the Apollo 18 or something like that, or Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. You know, it's so much hidden messages and all this stuff that's really going on. And they hide it right in plain sight. If you're not really paying attention, you would not even acknowledge it. You'd be caught unawares. See, the thing of Yahuwah through his son, Yahusha Messiah, that we're not sons of darkness, but sons of day, that we not be caught unawares. And the Apostle Peter also wrote, he said, be sober, be diligent, because you're after the devil like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour you. And remember the Apostle Paul, which is real name of Shaul, who goes to Ephesians chapter 2. He gives us the remedy against his followers. Chapter 6, verse 10, he says, for the rest, my brothers, be strong in the master and the mightiness of his strength. Put on a complete armor of Elohim for you to have power to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. See, these things are in the heavenlies. See, a lot of people think, well, Satan is the world to hell. You know, that's not true. See, right now, he has access to the heavens right now until he gets thrown down with the rest of the message written in Revelation chapter 12. That's why the trouble is going to be so bad, because Satan's going to be on earth with man. And he's going to afflict mankind. Okay? So then Saul goes on the right and says, because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim, so that you have power to withstand the wicked day and have done all to stand. Stand in heaven, go your ways with truth, and having put on the
wow, that's amazing, man. It's just amazing to think about that. Hey, that these fallens have always been here and tried to been in the plan of like which who was said. So I mean that is amazing that. Something so diabolical and something that has been going on since the Genesis, since they came to Earth and tried to deceive mankind, and it's just been wild. So I mean, we're continuing to search this thing, man, because Yahusha said that just as in the days of the son of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the son of Adam. So Yashron just broke it down. We just talked about, hey, that in the days of Noah, there were Nephilim on the earth in those days. As a matter of fact, we have a little bit more time left, but we want to get into the quick fact of the day. We thank Yashron so much for coming on the air, sharing what he shared. I think we had some technical difficulties, might have got cut off, but hey. We got something real special, since this is the show where we're exposing the Nephilim, because hey, we want to show everybody, hey, that just as Yahushua didn't lie. So those things that were going on the earth is the same thing happening now. You know, and we have the quick fact of the day. I don't know if you ever heard. I'm going to tell you this story real quick. I used to go to the video store every day. I'm a big, you know, fan of movies. I'm at, you know, in the film industry. And so I went to the and I'm going to tell you how Yahuwah works. Went to the video store, and the guy, he works for, you know, I just felt prompted to ask him about, you know, so-called alien, Nephilim, whatever you should call. So he tells me, this is the first time I ever heard this, he tells me that he is from New Mexico. So I'm like, oh, I'm saying, oh, you're kidding me. You know, he's saying he's from New Mexico, Dulce, New Mexico. And he says out there, it's common knowledge that, hey, something fishy is going on, that the world tries to use the, you know, quote unquote, he didn't say this, but the Hegelian theory, in which, you know, they say they be neutral and say, you know, aliens or Nephilim don't exist, and then they do, and all this stuff. So we were talking about that, and he said, you know, check out Dulce, New Mexico. So I have a little clip right here. History Channel did a little clip right here. You're talking about, this is in New Mexico. It's seven layers underground, and you're talking about, you have all kind of weird stuff going on. You have exploitation. You have things with the Nephilim mixing with the women's seed down there. You're talking about them having babies like off the V. You're talking about the same thing that happened in Bereshit and Genesis going down underneath the ground. You're talking about these things can possibly be, you know, the locusts that were in the ground that will come up later. We'll have to see about that. But you're talking about, this thing is seven layers underground. If you get a chance to check it up, it's called Dulce, New Mexico. This is the quick fact of the day, that, hey, there is supposedly, there's one guy who escaped, who actually escaped there and had a drawing of what's going on there, down there. You have things called the Nightmare Row. You have things, there's such much under the ground that it's just crazy. You're talking about almost 2 miles underneath an Indian reserve near Dulce, New Mexico, is a secret base, a government base. Now, of course you say this, people going to say, oh, you're a conspiracy theory. I ain't no base underground. You know, they have the Greys, you know, the so-called aliens, the reptilians, the things that look like humans. You've seen the movie. You've seen the V. You've seen these things that look like humans, and but they're not, and all these things. But we want to play a little clip right here, because this is the quick fact of the day. We're not going to get too much into it, because we have we got to get going in a minute. But I'm going to play a little clip for you.
There's something going on in Dulce. The sightings and cabin installations are facts.
So we're talking about, we're back. We about to close it up, but yeah, little clip right there from, you get a chance to check that out, but it's talking about Dulce, New Mexico, and taking animals and doing experiments under the ground, and they have, you know, all kind of stuff going on over there. But that's a quick fact of the day. Check it out, Dulce, New Mexico. But hey, I hope you had a blessed Shabbat, and I hope you have a blessed Teruah, man. We in the month of harvest. It is going down. Get some rest today. I hope you have a blessed one. Yahuwah bless you in the name of Yahusha. May his face shine upon you, and you continue to walk in the commandments and statutes and precepts and teach your children. May you have a blessed day. So be it. Amen.